The Pendulum by Ray Bradbury. Up and down, back and forth, up and down, first a quick flight skyward, gradually slowing, reaching a pinnacle of curve, posing a moment and flashing earthward again, faster and faster, nauseating speed, reaching the bottom, hurling aloft on the opposite side, up and down, back and forth, up and down. How long it could continue this way, Leville didn't know. It might have been millions of years he had spent sitting here in the massive glass pendulum, watching the world tip one way and another, up and down dizzily before his eyes, until they ached. Since first they had locked him in the pendulum's round glass head, it set it swinging, it never stopped or changed. Continuous, monotonous movements over and above the ground. So huge was this pendulum, it shadowed 100 feet or more with every majestic sweep of its gleaming shape, dangling from the mental intestines of the shining machine overhead. It took 3 or 4 seconds for it to traverse the 100 feet one way, 3 or 4 seconds to come back. Prisoner time, that's what they called him now. Now fettered to the very machine he planned and constructed. A prisoner of time. A prisoner of time. Every swing of the pendulum echoed his faults. Ever, forever like this until he went insane. Tried to focus his eyes on the arcing hotness of the earth. Sweat passed beneath him. He had laughed at him a few days before, or was it a week, a month, a year? He didn't know. His cursus pitching had filled him with an aching confusion. He laughed at him when he said, sometime before all this, he could bridge time gaps and travel into futurity. He designed a huge machine to warp space. He invited 30 of the world's most gifted scientists to help him finish his colossal attempt to scratch the future wall of time. Yeah, the accident spun back to him now through misted memory. Displayed a time machine to the public, the exact moment he stood on the platform, 30 scientists and pulled the main switch. Scientists all then blasted into ashes from wild electrical flames. For the eyes of 2 million witnesses who had come to the laboratory or had tuned in by television at home, he stayed in the world's greatest scientists. He called a moment of shocked horror that followed. Something radically wrong had happened to the machine. He, Leville, the inventor of the machine, had staggered backward, his clothes flaming and eating up about him. No time for explanations. Then he collapsed in the blackness of pain and a numbing defeat. Swept a hasty trail, Leville, face jeering throngs, calling out for his death. Destroy the time machine, they cried. Destroy this murder with it. Murderer? He tried to help humanity. This was his reward. One man leaped into the tribunal platform at the trial, saying, no, don't destroy the machine. I have a better plan, a revenge for this man. His finger pointed at Leville, with inventor sat unshaven and haggard, his eyes failure gazed. He shall rebuild his machine, take his precious metals and put on a monument for his slaughterings. He put him on his expedition of life, then his executing device. Crowd roared approval like thunder shaking a tribunal hall. In pushing hands, days into months. Pushing hands in days into prison, months. Fire led forth into the hot sunshine. He was carried in a small rocket car to the centre of the city. Shock of which he saw himself brought back to reality. They rebuilt his machine into a towering timepiece of a pendulum. Stumbled forward, urging on by thrusting hands, listening to the roar of thousands of voices damning him. To a transparent pendulum head, they pushed him and clamped it tight with weldings. Then they set the pendulum swinging, stood back. Slowly, very slowly, rocked back and forth, increasing his speed. The eye pounded futilely, the glass screaming, the faces became blurred, were only tearing pink blobs before him. on and on like this. For how long? He didn't mind, hadn't minded it so much at first, the first night. He couldn't sleep. It was not uncomfortable. Lights of the city were comets with tails that pelted from left to right like foaming fireworks. But as night wore on, he felt a gnawing in his stomach. They grew worse. He got very sick and vomited. Next day he couldn't eat anything. They never stopped the pendulum, not once. Instead of letting him eat quietly, instead they flew down the stem of the pendulum, special tube, small round parcels that plunked at his feet. First time he attempted eating, he was successful. Wouldn't stay down. In desperation, he hammered against the old glass his fists until they bled. Crying hoarsely, but he heard nothing but his weak, fear-racked words muffled in his ears. By the time he had elapsed, he got so they could eat, even from sleep, while travelling back and forth this way. It allowed him small glass loops on the floor and leather thongs with which he could tie himself down at night and slept a soundless slumber without sliding. People came to look at him. He accustomed his eyes to the swift light and followed their curiosity-etched faces, first close, by in the middle, and far away to the right, middle again, and to the left. He saw the faces gaping, sneaking, soundless words, laughing, pointing at the prisoner, time-travelling, forever nowhere. But after a while, the townspeople vanished, and it was only tourists who came and read the sign that said, "This is the prisoner of time, John Neville, killed 30 of the world's finest scientists." School children, electrical, moving sidewalk, stopped to stare in childish awe. A prisoner of time. Often he thought of that title, God, but it was ironic. He should have entered a time machine, have it converted into a clock, and that he, in his pendulum, should mete out the years travelling with time. Couldn't remember how long it had been, the days and nights ran together in his memory. His unshaven cheeks had developed a short beard, and then ceased growing. How long a time? How long? Once a day they sent down a tube of Viet and vacuumed up the cell, disposing of any waste. Once in a great while they sent him a book, but that was all. The robots took care of him now. Eventually the humans thought it was a waste of time to bother over their prisoner. The robots brought the food, cleaned the pendulum oil cell, oiled the machinery, worked tirelessly over it from dawn till sun, crimson firstwood. This rate it could keep on for centuries. But one day as Levette stared at the city and its people in a blur of ascent and descent, perceived a swarming darkness extended in the heavens. The city rocket ships across the sky and pillars of flooded flames died as helplessly, frightfully for shelter. People ran like water, splashed on tiles, screaming it soundlessly. Alien creatures fluttered down, great glutinous masses of black, and sucked out the life of all. They clustered thickly over everything, gazing momentarily upon the pendulum and its body above, over the whirling wheels and roaring bowels of metal creature. Once a time machine, an hour later, it dwindled away over the horizon, never came back. They said he was dead. Up and down, the vet went on his journey to nowhere. Prison, a strange smile etched on his lips. A week or more, he knew he'd be the only man alive on earth. Elation flamed within him. This was his victory. Where the other men had planned the pendulum as a prison, he'd been an asylum against annihilation now. Day after day, the robot still came, worked, unbated by a visitation of Black Horde. Came every week, brought food, tinkered, checked, oiled, cleaned up and down, back and forth the pendulum. Thousand years must have passed before the sky again showed life over the dead earth. A silvery bullet of space dropped from the clouds, steaming and hovered over the dead city, where now only a few solitary robots performed their tasks. Gathering dust of the lights of the metropolis glimmered on. Other representations appeared around rallies, and with spiders of twisting webs, scurrying about, checking oiling, working in their crisp mechanical manner. The creature and the alien projectile found the time machine because the pendulum swinging up and down, back and forth, up and down. Robert still cared for it, oiled it, tinkering. 1,000 years the pendulum had sung. made of glass and round disc at the bottom was. But now, when the food was lowered by the robots through the tube, lay untouched. Later, when the vacuum tube came down and cleaned out the cell, it took the very food with it. Back and forth, up and down. Vierza saw something inside the pendulum, pressed closely to the glass side of the cell, was a face of whitened skull, skeleton visage that stared out over the city, with empty sockets and an amicable, cool smile weaving its lipless teeth, back and forth, up and down. Creature of the void stopped the pendulum in its course, ceased its swing and cracked open the glass cell, exposing the skeleton view. In the gleaming light of the stars, the skull face continued its weird grinning, as if it knew it had conquered something. Had conquered time. Prisoner time, Lavelle. Had de-travelled long the centuries. And the journey was at an end.